What is up, guys, and welcome to the Meeple Minded Podcast, the podcast where we talk all things tabletop gaming. My name is Jason.
And I'm James.
And today on the Meeple Minded Podcast, we are going to be breaking out our plague masks as we travel through the infested streets of Bristol. And of course, Paul will be in the news shed a little bit later to bring you all of this week's news and crowdfunding campaigns that we think you guys need to know about. But before that, how are you doing, James?
Not too bad, Jason. Not too bad.
Good, good. Good to hear. Have you been playing any games this week?
Yeah, we've got a few games here. Played a bit of Dice Forge, a bit of Azul.
A bit more of Azul.
A bit more of Azul.
We've been enjoying playing Azul quite a lot recently.
Almost like there's an episode coming.
I mean, maybe. I don't like giving things away too early, but, you know, maybe. Who knows? Is it today's episode? I'd hope not, because I'm pretty sure Azul is not set in plague-infested streets of Bristol, so that'd be an interesting theme, wouldn't it?
Tried to tile a floor in the middle of the plague.
Well, it was Bristol. They'd just be nicking the tiles before they've set. When
mind, you're messing up my mosaic.
Oh, God, we're going to have all the people of Bristol coming after us now, aren't we? We're not all like that.
It's fine. I lived there for 2 years.
But you got out. You got out.
I did.
Before insulting them, obviously. Did it the correct way. But yes, if you hadn't guessed, we are going to be talking about Bristol 1350. So should we dive into this conversation, James?
Yes, let's dive in.
Bristol 1350 is a semi-cooperative strategy racing game with a nice dose of social deduction thrown in for good measure. It was released by Facade Games in 2021, and the game can accommodate an impressive 1 to 9 players, aged about 13 and up, and is the latest in the Dark Cities series, following on from the likes of Salem 1692 and Tortuga 1667. Both of those very well acclaimed games. So has this one gone the same way? Let's find out. The theme for this game has you immersed into a time where the dreaded Black Plague has descended upon the town of Bristol, and players have but one chance to escape with their lives. The threat of the Black Death motivates you to jump aboard one of 3 apple carts racing towards the edge of town. If your cart is the first to leave the town, and it is full of only healthy villagers, you and your fellow cartmates are successful and have escaped and win the game. However, if you leave the town with even just a single plagued villager in your cart, you will catch the plague and collectively lose the game. So that's just a very quick, brief overview as to what the game is about. But now let's talk about what comes in the pretty cool box.
Yeah, it is a cool box. I really like the box.
We'll get on to that.
Yeah. So contained within the box is 1 map, 9 pawns, 6 dice, 1 pouch, 3 carts, 9 character cards, 32 symptom cards, and 27 remedy cards.
Very, very nice. So it's actually quite a small amount of components. And I will say at this point, it's not a big box. You're not talking about your 30 by 30 standard board game size box, but it's actually a book.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Facade Games, making a facade for all of those gamers that, you know, are trying to hide that they've bought a new game.
Do you know the thing that I'm reminded of every time I look at that is in films where you open something like that and there's a small bottle of whiskey in a fake book.
Yeah.
That's what the box is.
Exactly. Except it's better because it's got games.
Oh, indeed.
It's a game inside, James. It's awesome.
I'd be torn between a game and the whiskey.
I mean, there's a little bit of space left in there. I could probably get one of those little mini whiskeys in there. So, you know, maybe worth a try. That's the prize, James. There we go. Game nights have just got a lot better. Prize is a little miniature bottle of whiskey. Anyway, that's the box. The box is awesome. I don't think we're going to fault anything with the box. It looks like a book and it looks awesome. But let's talk about the stuff that comes inside. Let's talk about the component quality. What's your opinions on those?
I think for what you get, the component quality's perfect. You know, you get the 9 little characters, the carts are nice, the dice are nice, the rollout mat is very nice, mm-hmm. The neoprene mat that you're racing around, the card stock's very good. Overall, yeah, I think the quality's definitely there.
Now, I will say at this point that the copy that we have here is a Kickstarter delivery, and the pawns that you're referring to, the sculpted ones, they are actually, from what I remember, a Kickstarter exclusive or a deluxe exclusive. But it does come with standard sort of board game pawns, which are about the same sort of size. So, but yeah, for the record, we have been playing with that Kickstarter version, so I've been using the Kickstarter goodness stuff. So yeah, for me, the quality is great. The artwork is lovely, though. I will say at this juncture that while the artwork is really, really nice, I did find multiple players, including myself, found it quite difficult to distinguish the colour of the characters at certain points with the way that the card art was and the colours on it. So that might have been a bit clearer, but you know, we'll look past that. But yeah, the game, it includes that, as you said, the really cool sort of mini neoprene mat, but that also sort of another thing I sort of would have liked a little bit was maybe a slightly longer track.
Yeah.
But again, we'll talk about that a little bit later. But yeah, it's all stored within that company's trademark, you know, book themed box, and I absolutely love it. It's a really nice little package. Great little game. I can't remember what the retail price of it is, but it's not an expensive game. It's £20 to £30, I think it is. So yeah, I think the value is definitely there. And to have such a high player count as well is really good.
Yes.
So yeah, that is the components. Not a lot for us to talk about, really. So let's move on to gameplay. How did you feel the game played? And, you know, anything you liked, disliked?
I really enjoyed it. The social deduction side of it, I love.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to work out who has and hasn't got the plague. And I also quite like the fact that you can't just immediately go, oh, this person is suspicious, so I'm going to push them out. Because I like the mechanic that if you abandon someone and then at the end of the game it turns out they didn't have the plague, mm-hmm. you still lose.
Yeah.
So you have to be certain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I suppose now is a good time to sort of give a bit more in depth as to what you can do with the gameplay. You get one, I think it's one action per turn, which can be to reroll up to two dice, which is how your cart moves and how you avoid mingling. That leads me nice on to what mingling actually is. If you have two dice sides, which is an apple and a rat. If you have two rats at the end of everyone's turn, though your cart will continue to move forward, two rats means you then have to mingle. Everyone in the cart has to put all of their symptom cards down onto the table and then add one from the symptom draw deck. Another player will shuffle those cards and then re-deal those cards back out. If at any point during the game your cards add up to more than six, you are infected with the plague for the remainder of the game. Even if you get cards that end up lower than six by the time you leave, you still have had the plague. That's it. Your game then changes to you want to try and figure out who is actually healthy and stop them from winning, really.
That's where it comes in. It's like you then have to convince everyone that you haven't got the plague right up to the end.
Exactly. And obviously you can do that by moving between carts, because that's another action you can do is to move. You can push people off the back of the carts.
Yep.
But as James said, if you push people off the back of the carts and they fall out, if they are healthy, you're out of the game as well. So, yeah.
You die of shame.
Die of shame indeed. But yes, I'm very much like you. I love social deduction games because, as I've said many, many times, apparently I'm a great liar.
You are.
So,
you know, the first time we played this, I made the mistake of trusting you. I've known you for 15 years. That was a mistake.
I can't help it. All right. I'm good at these games. I love the fact that there's sort of the nice thrill throughout the game of constantly having that worry through your head. It's like, oh, am I in a cart with an infected person? Should I kick them out? Or, you know, or do I risk it for a chocolate biscuit and work together to try and get out as quickly as possible? You know, that's really great. I love that. The back and forth is fantastic. Just players like just trying to justify the fact that, no, I definitely don't have the plague. Or maybe I do. Or maybe you do. I'm not sure I trust you, James.
I'm not sure I trust you. But I know I don't trust you, Jason. be thankful of that mechanic, otherwise I'd have pushed you off in the first turn because it's you.
Fair play, fair play. I can't argue that.
And this seems like a good place to also say that one of the other actions is each, you get those 9 character cards, and each character has an ability that they can do, and that's an action.
Yep. Obviously, that's the slightly more advanced rules. It's just the other side of the characters. Yeah. They have an extra action. That's another action that they can take, but it is at the forfeit of performing other actions.
Yeah, and that would be one of the things that I would bring up about this game, is that although it is very good, the actual ability on the card, it's written in very fine script and it's very small. It can be very difficult to read.
Yes,
so that's the thing I would pick up with this. It's like the special ability could have been a bit clearer.
Yeah, if you are like me and have to wear glasses for the majority of things, even with my glasses, I do struggle to read it because it is written in very clear scripture style. So sometimes it's quite difficult to read. Would have, as you said, maybe text a little bit bigger, or you know, the other thing is the cards are quite small themselves. Yeah. They're not sort of X-Wing size, but they're not quite standard.
Yeah, so. I mean, it's nice being a medieval game that it's in, I think it's Gothic script, I think is what it's called.
That's it, yeah.
It's nicely themed. It could have just done with being a bit bigger and clearer.
Yeah. So yeah, some of those special abilities as well, they are really, really handy throughout the game. I mean, I've just picked out a couple out of the box to just sort of read and give you a rough idea. Like this one is really, really good. So you've got one. The special action is to re-roll one die and then lock one die. Yeah. Now, the idea of locking one die is really good because, especially if it's one of yours,
it's a guaranteed result.
It's a guaranteed result. Or maybe you want to guarantee that a different card is going to go into mingling. So that's, that's the Alewife.
Yeah.
You know, I love some of the names.
Yeah, I've got one here, the Cooper, which is view the top 3 cards in the new symptoms deck. Now, that would be very handy because you know what's going to come if you are mingling.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Another one here is the Countess, which is to draw 2 remedies and choose one to keep. Now, that's a real good one.
And that's the same as the Bard that I've got here.
So, obviously, there is some of your examples and some of them are going to be duplicates.
And that's a nice segue into remedy cards.
It is indeed. Now, what about those remedy cards, James? What are the remedy cards used for in this game?
Well, despite the fact of them being called remedy cards, they don't actually cure you of plague.
They do not, no.
They are things like the whip. So if someone tries to jump into your cart, you can. It's a reactionary card. You can hit them with a whip, basically, and it prevents them from moving into your cart.
And the remedy cards actually have 2 sections as well, don't they? Because that's the first section on the whip card.
Yeah.
But the other one, from what I remember, is one that you can play on your turn as a non-reaction.
Yes. The Pomander, if I'm reading that correctly.
Oh, this is Old English, mate. We're going to butcher this.
Allows you to draw 2 extra symptoms and keep any 2 of the 4, discard the other 2. Now, that's really good because you could, even if you haven't got the plague, you might be able to really lower that number.
Mm, yeah. And I've got one here as well. The bottom half is the Pomander, so I'm not going to reread that. However, the top side is actually different. I believe it's the Aelms, or I'm assuming it means ailments. Allows you to view a new coin and give it to any player. Now, the coins were actually, I believe, a mini expansion. And what those coins are, there is the only way in this game where you can actually cure having the plague. And there's 1 coin that does that. There are coins that give you the plague. There are coins that do nothing whatsoever. And of course, there's the coin that allows you to cure your plague. Now, when you get these coins, you do not have to keep it for yourself.
You can give it to another player.
So you can give it to another player. Now, I've just given James my coin. Now, everyone thinks I've given James the plague, but have I just double bluffed them? Of course, that's always a possibility.
Well, one of the things you could do is, at the time, if you know you haven't got the plague and you're in a cart with someone else, you could give them the cure.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, that's a good way of doing it. And then I have one here, which is probably the best card in the game, because it is the Chicken.
Oh, yes.
The Chicken allows you to re-roll your 2 dice an extra 3 times.
Very nice. That's very good indeed. Let's go for one more. This one is Crushed Emeralds. Give you one extra movement action. That's pretty good. That's obviously elbow, dash, and push. And yeah, the bottom half, again, is the ailments for the coin section. So yes, there's quite a bit of reusing the same stuff in the game, but it's the other half of the card is very good.
Yep.
It's changing.
And you bring up a good one there when you bring up the elbow, dash, and push. Is your pawn's position in the cart matters whether you're at the front, in the middle, or the back, because each cart can hold three pawns at a time. So if you want to dash to the next cart, you have to be in the front. Mm-hmm. You move around inside the cart by performing an elbow action, which is you basically pushing your way to the front of the cart.
Yeah.
And to be pushed off, I believe the person has to be in the very back of the cart. They can't be middle or front.
Yes. And obviously, one thing that can be done is if you are in the very last cart, in the very last position, you can indeed be pushed off, and that takes you out of the game. But as James said earlier, if you happen to be a healthy person when you're... Well, if you are healthy, you've never had the plague, this is where the honesty aspect comes in. If you are healthy, the person that pushes you off is also out of the game.
Yes. Die of shame.
Die of shame. So, yeah, let's talk about our final thoughts, because it's quite a small game. It was never going to be a particularly long episode. So, what are your final thoughts for Bristol 1350?
It's a really good game if you've got a large group over for a game night, a group of friends, and you all want to work out who's the best liar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Basically, social deduction games.
Yeah. God love it.
Yeah.
God love it.
With it, like you said, with a touch of racing, because there is that element of you need to get out first to win.
Yep, indeed. From what I remember, the track is about 16 spaces long, so it's really not a long track.
No, it's a very short
game.
When
we say a mini track, a mini map, it's maybe 8 inches width by about 5 inches in height.
I definitely I throw this one in as an icebreaker game. It's a good, brilliant way to start an evening. Up to 9 players, his higher player count is great, and it's great for getting the banter going.
Yeah,
if you're having a gaming night,
yeah,
great ice breaking game.
Yeah, love this game. Absolutely love this game. Keep spoiling it too early, aren't we, Jim? I suppose it's the final thoughts. It's acceptable. So what do I say about this game? I say one thing. If I'm going down, I'm going to take you all with me, and that is exactly what I love about this game. I love this game. While the theme is, let's be honest, rather morbid, and clearly based on very tragic, horrific historical events, I believe that this game will see the table a lot. The high player count really adds to that. I've always had a bit of a soft spot for social deduction, as I've said. I do feel, however, the honesty factor in this game is a bit of an issue for me, because it requires every player to be honest. You know, no one reveals at any point until they are out of the city whether they have had the plague at all throughout the game. And you could get the plague really early on and then mingle later on and then suddenly get lower cards. It then requires honesty for you to say, no, I got the plague earlier. I find it hilarious. So, you know, I'll happily announce that, yes, I've screwed you all over. You know, maybe someone who could be deemed as a power player who doesn't like losing. I know a few people that would probably do it. That's the worst part. And they're not the type of people I would play with. I would just recommend playing this game, but you know, be picky about who you play it with, to be honest. You need to know that those players are honest. And that was a bit of a niggle for me. But I'm also accepting the fact that I'm not sure how they could have dealt with it anyway.
No, because if you reveal as soon as you get it, it defies the whole point of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I suppose they could do sort of something like in Hail Hydra, where at the end of every round, everyone has to close their eyes and then only the infected people can open them so that you can then see whoever else is. But then
there's still a degree of honesty in that.
Exactly. Exactly.
It just makes it harder, I think, on the honesty aspect, because you're constantly changing your cards. So there's no, at the end, going, yep, I am the plague.
Yeah.
Basically, it's like, because you, as you said, your numbers could have dropped by the time you get to the end.
Yeah. I mean, it is stated pretty clearly that if you do have the plague and you get out of the city with other people who are healthy, you are technically a winner because you have stopped them from winning.
Mm.
Your new objective becomes to stop healthy people from getting out of the city. So I suppose there is an aspect to it on those grounds, but yeah, maybe that knocked me down a little bit. I can't lie. But anyway, back onto positive things. The jocular nature of this game makes this as fun can be. You know, the constant back and forth between people, you know, who is and isn't infected. You're a liar. No, you're a liar. No, you're a liar. No, you're a bigger liar, James.
Spider-Man meme. You.
Exactly. I love that. It's really, really good. And this is why I actually agree with you. It's great as an intro game for the night. It's the first game you play. Fantastic. If it's the last game you play, end the night on a high note. This game is brilliant for that. And being so small as well, it's been in my game bag since I got it every night. And it sees the table probably more than most of my other games. So yeah, very, very good game indeed. I really appreciate the fit that it does fit inside that box, including the neoprene mat. I think that's fantastic. I would pick up on the fact that the magnets that hold the cap down are pretty weak. So every time I take it out of a game bag, it's nearly always open.
Mm.
You know, there has been a time where a dice has managed to escape and I've then had to go hunting through the bag to try and find it. So maybe a little bit stronger magnets. So that's a bit of a quality thing. But other than that, I can't really pick up too much against the game. So it's that time, James. Mm. We're going to go to the Meeple ratings. I'm interested to know what you think of this game.
I'm going to give this one an 8.
Okay. And what are your reasons for your 8?
My 8, so the positives, brilliant, quick ice-breaking game, good quality. I like the quirkiness of the box. It's a well-thought-out game. Yes, the honesty aspect, but I can't really fault the game for that. That's the people you're playing with rather than the game. And a couple of minus points, just I'd like the abilities on the cards and the identification for which color you are to be a bit clearer.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm knocking it down for. Most.
Okay. Fair enough.
But overall, brilliant game.
Excellent. And I'm pretty much going to echo everything you've said as well. The components are great. The quality is great on those. The gameplay is great. You know, I've already touched on my niggles really with regards to the honesty aspect, but as you said, that's more down to the players. The high player count gave it at least a point on its own. You know, it's not very often that you get a game that can go up to such high numbers that is still good.
Yeah.
And isn't just a party game.
And I will definitely state that the higher the player count, the better this game is.
I would agree with that as well. Yeah. Not so sure about the 9. You know, 8 is probably where I would say the game is perfect. I think 9 just goes over a little bit too much.
I it's not the fact that it's 9. It's whatever the cap that you had with this game. It could be, it's going to be in a multiple of 3 because that's how many people you can fit in a car maximum. But when you are maxed out, it's just that the first person who gets pushed out is straight out of the game.
Yeah.
So that player might not have it. It's such an enjoyable experience because they could end up out in the first round.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas, because you've got a bit more space in the carts, at about 7 or 8, I think, is the sweet spot for lots of guessing, but you're not going to have someone immediately pushed out.
Exactly.
Because you have to at least elbow them to the back of the... whoever's in the rear cart has to elbow them to the back and then push them out.
Yeah, agreed. So, yeah. Apart from the niggles that I've already spoken about, the game ticks pretty much all the boxes with me with minimal amount of negativity. So for me, I'm actually going above you.
Oh.
I'm going an 8.5 for this game. An extra 0.5 from me.
An extra 0.5 from James. He's being generous.
I'm being very generous. I'm a sucker for neoprene mats, no matter how small they are. And do you know what? The little metal carts are fantastic. The metal coins that came in this version are fantastic. The pawns that came in this one are amazing, so well sculpted. So I will say at this point, as I did say, this is a deluxe version, all with Kickstarter exclusives or whatever it be. The standard version, if they don't come with those things that I've just mentioned, I would say I will knock this down to an 8. But that 0.5 is basically for that extra level of component quality. It did take some negatives, obviously, with the magnets, with the honesty aspect as well. So, yeah, that's it for me. 8.5, out of 10 for Bristol 1350. Lovely, lovely game. Anyway, as I said earlier, it's time to hand over to our man in the news shed. We will see you in a minute, once he's done his news bit, to see you out for the rest of the episode. So, over to you, Paul.
Once again, we set off in my war rig to bring back guzzoline from whichever gas station has any. I salute my loyal Imperator Brian the Duck, who will ride with me eternal on the highways of Valhalla. We will ride eternal, shiny and chrome. Witness me, brother!
What do you mean, what am I on about? Well, once I get this news recorded, we better go out and try and get some fuel, don't we? I mean, somewhere, or I won't be able to get to work tomorrow. What do you mean, what was all the Valhalla nonsense? Haven't you seen Mad Max Fury Road? It seems to be turning out a lot like that out there at the moment. Well, that's true. Don't know if my bus will have any fuel with it when I go back either. That'll be fun. Right, before we head out onto the wasteland, I better get this week's news read out. You okay finishing the armor and weapons on the car? It might get a little bumpy out there. Cool. Asmodee, the world's second largest maker of board games, could soon be under new leadership. The tabletop titan is reportedly up for sale for a staggering figure of 2 billion euros. The current owner, venture capital firm PAI Partners, is reportedly currently looking for a buyer who might be interested in purchasing the company. News of the Asmodee sale was revealed by tabletop legend Stephen Wonacor via Twitter, saying that PAI Partners has enlisted the services of investment bank Goldman Sachs, whose role is it to find a buyer for the tabletop giant. Wonacor points out that 3 years ago, former owner Eurazeo sold Asmodee to PAI Partners for 1.2 billion euros, which is itself an exponential increase on the 2014 sale figure to Eurazeo for 145 million euros. According to Wonacor, the astonishing 2 billion euro figure represents a meteoric valuation story for the tabletop industry. It's worth noting that neither Asmodee nor PAI Partners has officially confirmed the sale yet. Having said that, Wonacor is a trusted name in the tabletop world until his retirement in 2020, where he was president of Terraforming Mars and Core World Studio Stronghold Games. Asmodee is the parent company of a number of different board game studios, including Fantasy Flight Games, Atomic Mass Games, Z-Man Studios, Catan Studios, and Days of Wonder. The company's strategy in recent years was to acquire smaller game studios and integrate them into the company as a semi-independent publisher, while adding their games to their portfolio, including the likes of Catan, Ticket to Ride, X-Wing Miniatures Game, Marvel Crisis Protocol, Marvel Champions, the card game, Arkham Horror, and Pandemic. The company recently acquired Board Game Arena, as well as holding the French rights to the Pokemon trading card game, and at one point was even working with Pokemon Go maker Niantic Labs to make an AR version of Catan, but that game was scrapped after a year-long beta earlier this month. Obviously, any sale of Asmodee would have huge implications on the wider tabletop board game industry. Asmodee, as we said, is the second largest maker of board games behind Hasbro, and is the largest publisher of games to many hobby game stores. If the sale went through, it would also represent a major increase in the value of not only Asmodee, but also the board game industry as a whole. It could also mean major disruption in the industry, especially if there is a major reorganization that comes about due to either the sale or the new ownership. Gloomhaven Digital Edition, the video game version of the original co-op board game, has been given a final release date. After being in early access when a video game is partially released, but with more elements left to be added, for over 2 years now, the complete version of Gloomhaven Digital is set to be released on October the 20th on PC via the Steam Store. The final release date follows several updates made since the game's July 2019 release, including an online co-op mode made available last year, and several Guildmaster missions added throughout 2021, with this final update fully launching the digital board game in its entirety. Perhaps the most anticipated part of the final release date is the inclusion of the full board game campaign found in the original tabletop release. Previously, players of Gloomhaven Digital Edition were restricted to playing only single missions, or small sets of missions, rather than the ongoing campaign featured in the original board game. However, with the final release of Gloomhaven Digital Edition, players will be able to experience a full campaign mode, wherein missions are tied together via an overarching plot, and player choices have consequences later down the line. Gloomhaven Digital Edition is a video game adaptation of the original board game that sees players becoming a band of mercenaries who have been hired to carry out all sorts of dangerous quests in and around the city of Gloomhaven. Players have access to a variety of different character archetypes, each with their own playstyles and deck of cards that enable them to perform various attacks and abilities. When taking on a job, players are able to prepare their party beforehand, upgrading equipment and abilities before setting out onto one of the many digitally rendered dungeons. Combat in the video game is turn-based, players able to use cards in their hand to engage and eliminate enemies, all whilst making sure not to get exhausted in the process. Players are able to experience Gloomhaven Digital Edition as a single player or co-op game, with the title supporting online multiplayer, therefore enabling players to play through missions or a campaign together regardless of their location. Gloomhaven Digital was developed by Flaming Fowl Studios, with this being the studio's debut release, and published by Asmodee Digital, the company behind many video game versions of beloved board games such as Blood Rage Digital, Takenoko, and Love Letter. Blade Runner, the seminal science fiction film about a gang of fugitive androids, is getting its own official tabletop role-playing game from the studio behind the Alien RPG and Tales from the Loop, Free League Publishing. Based on the classic 1982 film Blade Runner, the upcoming RPG looks to immerse players in a cyberpunk world where calculating corporations rule the world and ordinary people are exploited for profit. Set within the streets of Los Angeles in 2037, Blade Runner RPG sees players becoming the titular Blade Runners, a specialist law enforcement department who are trained and instructed to hunt down rogue androids called replicants. As Blade Runners, players will engage in investigative gameplay in the sci-fi role-playing game, seeking clues as to the whereabouts of fugitive replicants and using tools such as the infamous Voight-Kampff test, which is designed to identify whether someone is an android or indeed a human. Players will also be taken in cases beyond hunting down replicants, some of which may challenge their moral code and force them to question whether their enemies deserve what's coming to them. The Blade Runner RPG sourcebook will be set between the events of the original film and its sequel, Blade Runner 2049, with the game beginning just after the creation of the impressive Nexus 9 replicants on Earth by the Wallace Corporation. With it once again being legal to create replicants, players have the option to play as either humans or replicant Blade Runners, similar to Joe in Blade Runner 2049, as members of the LAPD Rep Detect Unit, who must find humanity in the brutality of their work. Blade Runner is an adaptation of the sci-fi novel Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep by Philip K. Dick, directed by Ridley Scott, who was also the director of Alien. Blade Runner, the role-playing game, is set to be released in 2022 with a retail price yet to be revealed. And before we head into crowdfunding, a big shout out goes to Stop, Drop and Roll, who successfully funded their game Earth Rising, 20 Years to Save Our World, during the weekend. We look forward to playing the games in the near future. Here we go into crowdfunding. The first up this week is Quests and Cannons by Short Hop Games. It's for 1-6 players. It takes about 20 minutes per player and is for ages 14 years and over. And it ends on Saturday, October the 16th. A high fantasy on the high seas competitive sandbox style adventure game for 1-6 players. Quests and Cannons, The Risen Islands, takes place in the original fantasy world of Miraheim, where a set of mysterious islands have arisen from the sea. With the delicate balance of the world disrupted, the people of Miraheim begin to leave their homelands and settle on the islands, finding them to be plentiful of resources. Ancient writings have begun to be uncovered, telling of a mythical artifact hidden among the islands through a series of map clues that could be the key to restoring balance to the world. Players are adventurers sent from one of the three prominent kingdoms of Miraheim to ensure the prosperity of their kingdoms, settlers, as well as search for this fabled treasure that could save their homes. Quests and Cannons, The Risen Islands is an accessible, deep strategy game about exploration, epic quests, and exciting combat. Players use action points each turn on an open movement modular game board to explore the various islands, receive quests from the settlers, gather resources, find map clues, upgrade their ships, collect loot, and trade cannon fire with rival adventurers. The objective of the game is to get the most prosperity by the end. Players earn prosperity by finishing quests, completing map clues, and attacking each other. Cartographer Pledge is the print and play pledge version, coming in at £6 or $8. Hero of Miraheim is for the standard game. You also get the print and play version, as well as all unlocked stretch goals for £44 or $60. Champion of Miraheim is for the deluxe edition of the game, which includes the standard game, a neoprene mat, metal coins, upgraded dice, as well as all unlocked stretch goals. And next up is Three Tail by Borderia. It's for one or three players. It takes 120 minutes to play. It's for 14 years and over, and it ends on Saturday, October the 16th as well. Three Tail is a cooperative adventure game for three players who choose their fairy tale heroes from stories going way back. Each hero has their asymmetric talents. The game plays a combination of variable player powers in the form of virtues, strategic tile placement, and a little bit of dice rolling. As a team, the three players go through four phases: the prophecy phase, past, present, and future. In the prophecy phase, three scenarios of future doom are mystically revealed, holding hints to help the players draft their heroes. In the past phase, every hero gets the chance to develop their stats and talents to be mighty enough to save the world from eternal doom. The hero's miniatures move through the tile-built board, thus collecting virtues, Shavista, and speed cubes. They also enter battles, complete quests, and collect treasures and artifacts by drawing cards. Upon completing the past phase, the heroes enter the present, where it is revealed which of the three prophecies will be fulfilled. Then the future comes, knocking at the door. Each future has its own backstory, inhabitants, and win conditions. What will it take to save the world? Will you battle a mighty enemy? Will you aim to gather lots of precious resources? Or will you simply fight for your own survival? You can pledge at £43 or $50 for the standard edition of the game and any unlocked stretch goals. The deluxe edition of the game, which comes with miniatures in place of standees, as well as all the unlocked stretch goals, is at £60 or $70. And you can buy the deluxe edition of the game along with the Kickstarter exclusive Moon Glow expansion, and that comes in at £86 or $100. For Vodina, second edition by Brave Giant. It's for 2 to 4 players, takes 30 to 60 minutes to complete. It's for ages 9 years and over, and it ends on Thursday, October the 21st. Welcome to the exciting world of Vodina. In this game, you are in the role of a farmer who produces crops and supplies towns' markets by making lucrative contracts. Find the right balance between careful and thought-out tile placement and obtaining the best-paying markets. The goal of the game is to have more money than the other players by the end. Prove that you're the best and wealthiest farmer in the most fertile region of Serbia. In the board game Vodina, players acquire and place tiles onto a map with smart card drafting. The game is very fun because the outcome is always uncertain. At the same time, it's educational because the players can learn a lot about Vodina itself, as well as the basic principles of the economy. The board game also promotes Vodina as a region of Serbia that is a must visit if you have not already done so. The game is fantastically designed with art inspired by oil paintings of the Vodina plain, with numerous photographs of its towns from the beginning of the 20th century, which gives the game a unique visual identity thanks to Andrea Schwartz, the game's graphic designer. The designer of the game, psychologist Boris Durovich, passionate board game enthusiast, wants to encourage people to spend more time together in the company of their loved ones, sharing beautiful moments, learning, and having fun away from mobile and computer screens. One thing I know that we can all agree on. And the pledge levels come in at £8 or $10 for the game's print and play version, or £22 and $30 gets you the Sunflower pledge, which includes the game and all unlocked stretch goals. And with crowdfunding done, we're heading on over to events. Surrey Board Gamers Game Day is set for this weekend, the 2nd of October. The new location being 7th Reigate Scout Hut, Timperley Gardens, Red Hill. And for your Google Maps and PratNavs, the postcode is RH12AR. It'll be running from 10:30 through to 5:30, and at just £5 a head. Other than that, the weekly meets are still up and running, so Wednesday evenings is always gaming at the comic shop in Crawley. Dave and Lewis Board Game Club are all over at the Trinity Gaming Cafe in Lewis on Thursdays. Mondays is Crawley Gaming Club over at Tilgate Community Centre in Crawley. But as always, check on the social media accounts for all the latest information and any last minute changes. So Brian, is the war rig ready? Guess that's a yes. Right, say goodbye to everyone. And from me, it's a goodbye. Keep safe, meeples. Keep those dice rolling, card shuffling, and we'll be right here for you next week. Right, you ready, Brian? What a day. What a lovely day.
Thank you very much for that, Paul. And thank you guys for joining us once again for our discussion about Bristol 1350 by Facade Games. How do you think it went, James?
I think this one went well.
Yeah? Is this a game that you would like to play again?
Definitely.
Yeah. It's what, do you know what? It took so long for me to get this to the table and I regret it.
Yeah.
It turned up, I think it turned up in the middle of some global apocalypse. It might have been just before, and of course, high play counts.
Yeah.
It's kind of a big no-no, really. But yeah, really, really good game. I played this loads when it was still on Kickstarter because they have it on Tabletop Simulator. So if you can't get the official game, I actively encourage you, go on to Tabletop Simulator. It's totally free. Just go and play it. It is such good fun. So, James, is there any particular game you want to play this week? I mean, we've got 2 weeks till we do another game review, so you know we can... We've got to pick one that we can do.
Well, we've already mentioned Azul earlier, but we played the Stained last one not that long ago. I'm looking forward to giving that another go.
Yeah, okay. I've got to admit, I like that game. That's probably, I like it just a little bit more than the original. I'm really looking forward to the new one when that comes out.
Yes.
But another game that we played recently was from one of our members, which was Labyrinthos.
Yes.
I'm very much looking forward to playing that again, and I think that's one that we should talk about, because that is a game that surprised me as to how much I like it.
Yep. Oh, of course I like it. I've won it both times we played it.
So whatever meeple rating you give to that, we're just going to automatically knock off a whole point.
Yes, any game that I win is also automatically amazing. It doesn't happen very often.
This is very, very true. We've got to give it to you once in a while, so... Yeah. Anything else you want to say today, James, before we let these people go about their wonderful days, evenings, nights, whatever time it is in your time zone?
So I think we've covered all the bases.
Awesome stuff. So we will say goodbye. So my name has been Jason.
And I've been James.
And you've been listening to the Meeple Minded Podcast. We will see you next Tuesday for more tabletop gaming goodness. Ta-ta. Goodbye.